Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
All right, let's kick off the Hashtag Finance Master show. This time I chose a bit more provocative title, Ticket to Paradise, Process Automation. Maybe it's overstating a little bit, but let's see. I think it's a critical step to get done in your finance transformation to build a finance function that's fit for the future. And that's what we're talking about here. We are publishing the series, Building a Finance Function Fit for the Future. And today we are tackling the process angle. Previous shows, we've tackled both technology, people, culture, organization. And it's not easy to build a great finance function, but we know what we need to do. So it's just about doing it. So earlier in the series on building a finance function fit for the future, I did talk about that we would spend some time exploring the key practical question associated with the finance function of the future. We've talked about the opportunities associated with moving up the value chain and the necessity to take a holistic view of our organizations. Above all, I've underscored the transformational potential of technology, the foundation of all these shifts. But how do we actually implement that change? How do we shift the burden of the repetitive grunt work, if you can say, quote unquote, of finance onto software, tools, technology, and thereby free ourselves up to do more creative work? We all know we need to do it, but how do we actually do it? We go so far even as to call it the $1 trillion question, because if finance can free itself up and do the right things, we can add a lot more value to any kind of company across the world. So there is one fundamental question underlying all of this, and that is what I also posed in the title of today's blog post: are your processes fit for automation? To be automated, processes need to be replicable, machine readable, and discrete. In other words, they must be standardized and rule-based in such a way as to make them comprehensible and actionable by the software / tool, call it what you want, tasked with performing them. And they need to have clear start and end point. We're not yet at a time where some sort of AI tool can take whatever mess we have, make sense out of it, and turn out exactly the output, eventually also outcome, that we're looking for. So we still need to help the technology a little bit with processes fit for automation. In most organizations, you will need to take a few steps back to approach these questions. The reality is that most businesses have organizational knowledge of the processes on which they rely. And even less of that knowledge is likely to be written down. But as I've discussed at length elsewhere, to automate efficiently, we need to understand the processes that we are entrusting to software. Many of those processes may be very simple. For example, generating regular standardized reports or dashboards can be achieved easily because the inputs and expected outputs are well established and relatively easy to communicate. Turnkey or off-the-shelf solutions for these processes are common and often low cost. So there are the simple parts to this, as we'll discuss in a little bit. There's also a lot more complex parts to this. And what I find when discussing processes is that it very fastly turned into a discussion about swim lanes and level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 processes, or however deep you want to go into it. A very technical approach to processes, and one that most finance professionals might find themselves a bit alienated for. And especially if you want to create a blueprint for the future or for automation, starting with your existing way of doing things is not always that helpful. So to me, it'll be even more helpful just to start with a blank piece of paper, a blank whiteboard, and then just draw up what's the outcome that you're looking for and how can you design the simplest process to deliver that. Those two simple guardrails, you can design processes that are fit for automation. But now I'm also keen to hear from you. If you have a perspective on process automation or questions, now's a good time to raise your hand and come up on stage to share your perspectives. Tribe of Man, welcome once again to the stage. I'm sure you have a lot to add to process automation, so feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspectives or ask questions.
Hello, my name is Shark Prasad. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I have a question today. When we think process automation, we instinctively think technology, which probably in these days leads to coding. So how much coding do you think finance professionals should be involving when it comes to process automation?
That's a great question, Troy. And there's multiple layers of answers to this. I'm not sure we can cover all of them today, but it's definitely a great topic. So my first level thought, if we should stay in the process terminology, is for finance and accounting professionals to become what I call technos. So know what technology is available out there. Pretty much everything is available these days, but then know how it can benefit your company and whom to turn to implement it. Because I don't think we all need to be coders that can build our own software or solutions. I don't think that's a very efficient way of doing it. There's lots of companies out there that do this for a living that have the experts available to do this. So turn to them, have them help you because you know what benefits you can get from it. So it's quite simple in that way. So that's maybe the first level answer. The second level answer is, of course, that there's a lot of low-code, no-code tools coming out as well, in which you can build your own process workflows almost simply by doing a drag and drop. I saw one of these solutions a few weeks back, and probably even I could have figured out how to join two databases and create a database that would update every week whenever the new numbers were available. So it's pretty simple, I would say, to get this done. So that's maybe the second level answer. And then we're going to, of course, keep expanding this. Does that make sense, Troy?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it all depends on the focus where you want to steer your career, right? Because if you go down that rabbit hole of learning the code, it's very deep and wide. I can tell you, I've been peeking into it. There is a lot to learn about different languages. And even with AI and machine learning, there is so much to learn and so much that we can implement in budgeting and forecasting. So it's all where you want to steer your career. You know, that's how we decide what to learn. I think also it depends on the size of the business you work with, because a smaller business, SMEs, they don't have the resources and the budget to buy some of the tools. I know some of the low-code, no-code tools you speak of, like, for example, Alteryx is very good, but it's also very expensive for small companies to use. So yeah, definitely having some knowledge in coding and or at least have knowledge of the lay of the land in when it comes to technology and coding, I think that will be helpful in that regard. And now that we have very, very popular on LinkedIn right now, it's ChatGPT. So do you have any thoughts on that, Anders, with regards to process automation?
Yeah, I think ChatGPT is such a wide topic these days, right? Where everyone is experimenting, trying to figure out what it can do for you. And I don't think ChatGPT even itself knows exactly what it can do for people yet. So I think it's probably too premature to really narrow down exactly how we can use it. But there's no doubt about that we're going to be able to use it a lot. And I think Microsoft's huge investment in this is just a sign of this coming in a very fast way to a point where you basically ask your AI, can even maybe have an avatar or something like that, about the weekly numbers and how things are going and what we should do about it. And then they will come with suggestions based on what it can find online and its in-house company database and everything else, right? So it's really to that point. And I like to use a Star Wars reference here. And I probably don't ever run a Star Wars fans, but you might not know a bit about what it is. But there's one of the movies called Rogue One, where these rebels, they are going on a very dangerous mission. And there's one person that's not part of the rebels, but then she has to come along for specific purposes. And then there's this robot that can calculate the probabilities of anything. And the robot basically says to the leader of the mission, if you bring her on this mission, our chance of success drops from X percent to Y percent. And that's kind of what we will be asking the AI about. But then, of course, they succeed because she's there, right? This external element, if you will, because there's still something around. One thing is knowing our gaps, knowing the underlying drivers, even knowing what to do about it, but how to make it happen and make the human capabilities in a company play together to reach the best possible outcomes. There's still a role for finance to play. So without going down that rabbit hole, those were just some thoughts on that, Troy.
Yeah, I totally agree with those. Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, ChatGPT and other AI tools, they're just tools, right? And the analogy of the calculator I've seen on LinkedIn, which is it frees up time, which is exactly what we're looking to do with process automation, right? So as long as we continue to think of AI as tools and help us to free up time so we can do more high level thinking, I think that those are some of the benefits we can expect to see from AI. So I'm excited and hopeful for the future with technology and finance.
Yeah, and to all of you, you should be excited. I mean, yes, of course, it will take away some of the tasks and work that we do today, but it's what I label, quote unquote, grunt work, right? So we should be happy to have this work taken off our hands. So I'm fully with you there, Troy, and thanks for sharing your perspectives so far. I'm just going to continue a little bit with the article from this morning. So I mentioned a bit the simple cases just before we started the discussion with Troy, right? But there's also the question of bespoke solutions, right? For business-specific tasks for which there is not an established framework, it's vital to think carefully about the processes themselves. Process design is at the heart of good automation practices. In considering how we can automate a task, we are forced to introduce a new level of clarity, both for the sake of the software and, most importantly, to ensure visibility and understanding of the work that's being performed. You know, this is absolutely critical. Once a process has been automated, it's kind of like it's being forgotten, like out of sight, out of mind. So our understanding of that particular process is expected to diminish over time. So if we don't have a good understanding up front and good documentation, we'll likely completely lose the ability to control that process. Of course, we'll need to have accountants, what I call technical accountants, that can oversee the bots or software pieces that we have running as part of the automating all our processes, right? So we will task it to someone to have that process understanding and to provide governance and control over what's been automated. But that job will be made so much easier if at the beginning, we clearly outline and document the processes that we want to automate and ideally also redesign them to be fit for automation. So ask yourselves then, what would it take to automate this process? How can we formulate rules to govern the way in which the tasks are completed? How do we guarantee the integrity of the inputs that are being used, bearing in mind that these could come from a wide range of, let's call it sensing apparatus, right? If you're plugged into Internet of Things, right, data could come from anywhere. More details of which are available in previous articles where we discussed about these technologies. I think some fundamental questions to answer, because anything, almost, at least in the transactional world of finance and accounting, can be automated today. It's just about how you make it happen. Technology is there. People that have implemented, they are there. You just need to get it done. Because at the end of it, of course, if we want to have great automated processes, we have to start with the outcome in mind, as I mentioned earlier. And to do that well, it's all about customer centricity. Because what are the outputs that we want and expect? This is a great opportunity to think about how the processes we are automating can be improved. What is it that customers and internal stakeholders need from these processes? And how can we achieve that? That should be your governing principle, right? So Start with the end in mind. What is it that we're trying to deliver as an outcome for internal stakeholders, if it's finance team typically, or even external stakeholders like, you know, vendors and customers? If we have those at the center of what we do, it's going to be difficult to take a wrong turn. So one place where you're definitely going to have to do this is when you implement a new system, ERP system, or whatever it may be. That's when you really go bananas on process design. I've been involved in this a few times during my career, and I always found that it was very much, as I mentioned earlier, a technical exercise. And I think whenever we in finance and accounting make things a technical exercise, we're making it much more difficult to actually achieve what we want. So I think about this. When was the last time that you looked at your processes with the intention of redesigning it? How did you do it? Did you simply look for small incremental improvements? Or did you start with the end in mind? What is it actually that we're trying to achieve here? I think it's something that we are often challenged with because we're just caught up in how we are usually doing things. So it's not easy to redesign your processes for sure, but it's something that is just absolutely needed to enable automation, enable freeing up time in order for finance and accounting professionals to do the more value-adding work. Now, I posted yesterday 6 reasons why accountants are an endangered species. And that one always creates a lot of fuss and good debate, because there's one side of the camp that says lots of more accountants in the future because things are becoming more complex and there's labor shortage in accounting and so on and so forth. To me, that's mostly a result of lack of process automation. If we actually took process automation to the fullest extent, I think we would see a decreased demand for accountants. And I'm not saying accountants are just processing the grunt work. Of course, they're doing more than that. But I think long-term wise, if we go more in on the process automation, we will definitely see this go down. I could see Eric is coming to the stage now. So Eric also has been on the show before. Welcome again, Eric. Happy to have you here. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective.
Thank you very much. Really love the topic here. And what drove me to share my perspective as a vendor is exactly what you had suggested to the group, is starting out with the outcomes. We say over here to reverse engineer it, looking at the outcomes and then going in reverse and sitting with the finance folks to kind of detail and document what a day in the life looks like. So if they're able to do that prior to having a vendor come in, I think it makes it that much more efficient. But my comment and I guess question was, you know, we see as vendors helping with companies with their automation, the by far the biggest challenge is change management. And that may come from the champion internally as well as many of the folks that are resistant for many, many reasons. What's your thoughts or best practices or suggestions on helping that?
I absolutely love that you bring up this topic, Eric. I mean, the first level thought here is that at the end of any change that we're trying to make, there is a human needing to do something differently, right? So even if we're implementing a tool where it might make a few people redundant, there are still other people left that either needs to use the outcome of this or needs to operate this new tool. So we forget about this change management piece and just think, you know, of course people are going to accept working with this new tool. But we just know it's not the case. So the second level thought is we see 4 factors needing to be in place in order to adopt the change. The first is you need to have training in the new tool, right? So you need to feel confident that you actually know how to use it. The second is you need to have, and hopefully that's your champion, then you just mentioned here, you need to have people already inside that are good and role models and adopting new technologies. Because if no one has ever done this before, it's going to be a tough change management process. Look for those role models that have done it before. Third, you need to understand why the company is making this change and has to make sense to you. Maybe you don't want to work in these new ways. Okay, fair enough. But then maybe you need to be doing something differently on the inside, outside the company, but at least when you understand, and then you can make an active choice. And then last but not least, the company needs to be supportive of this, right? So if I work in the new ways, am I going to be rewarded, not necessarily with money, but with good feedback or new exciting tasks or promotions even, right? Or is it just another step on the way? Because if I don't feel like I'm incentivized in any way and supported in working in new ways, of course I'm not going to do it. So those would be the four factors that we would typically look at. And at the end of the day, the most important element there is the leader of the team or the function that you're in. If that person, if he or she is a good role model of, you know, adopting technology or working in new ways, there's a much higher likelihood that the team will do it as well. So really make sure the leaders are not just on board to implement the tool, but are on board to use it and role model it, because that will ease adoption a lot more. Those would be some of my thoughts, Eric. Does that resonate, or how do you see it?
No, for me personally, you really nailed it. I mean, it's so clear on each one, and bringing it back, you know, including the reward part of it, the fourth one, but bringing it back to your champion, they need to, you see the higher successful ones are the ones that are quicker for the time to value, time to success is when they are a change agent. So that champion is such a big portion of that to continually drive that change. But yes, I think that's great, great advice. Thank you for sharing that.
And thank you, Eric, for coming up and asking questions. If anyone else wants to do so, now is the final chance to do so for today's show. Of course, we continue with the weekly show every Thursday and now also every Monday, where we are running the softer side of finance, going more into FP&A and business partnering. So if anyone else has a thought to share or a question to ask, now is the time. Raise your hand. Come up on the stage.
Anders, I have one more thought on this process automation, which is, as we think through this, how we make things free of time and all of that. In finance, traditionally, we have been involved in financial data, but I think we also need to consider the inflow of non-financial data in finance organization. And given our existing processes, I think that could be problematic if we don't address the issues there in terms of building better infrastructure to handle that. Because as we see more and more, the CFOs, they're taking data science and bringing that into the CFO organization. So that's something we probably need to consider as well.
Absolutely, Troy. And I think, you know, bringing data analytics, data science in under the CFO umbrella is the absolute right move. But before we go and say to sales or marketing operations that they need to automate even more of their processes, that they need to fix their data flows, we need to ensure that we have done that in finance as well. Otherwise, it just becomes a finger pointing exercise, right? So I think today, finance is not necessarily the most automated function, but I think there's potential to be so, right? So let us in finance and accounting be the role models in the company for automation, for finally winning that data battle and getting the data under control to be able to use it. And then we can use our experiences and our credibility to get it done for other functions as well. But absolutely critical that we fix data flows across the company, because if we don't combine financial data sources and non-financial data sources, we'll miss out a ton of insight. And we need those insights to make better decisions. So thanks for bringing up that point, Troy. All right, we are at the end of today's show, Ticket to Paradise Process Automation. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I want to thank Troy and Eric for coming to the stage, sharing your thoughts, asking questions. You are the ones making this show special. And of course, to all the ones who listened in, I truly appreciate that you spent half an hour of your time today listening to the Hashtag Finance Master show. If you didn't catch the full show or you want to listen in to previous episodes, you can find them in your local podcast app, Spotify, or whatever else you use. Just search Hashtag Finance Master and you can find it. Hope to see you again next week. I think same time, same place, where we will be closing in on the finishing thoughts on the current series, Building a Finance Function Fit for the Future. Thanks a lot, everyone, and hope to see you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?